Amen. I'll tell you, we've been preaching on prayer on Wednesday nights. I've sure been looking forward. God's given us and dealt with, I don't know really how to explain it. God's dealt in our heart about several passages of Scripture all at one time, front-loaded them all, let us know what we've been looking at. And I've sure been looking forward to get to preach on Acts chapter number 12. I don't know that I've ever preached on Acts chapter 12. I've quoted it. I've used it in excerpts. I've thought about it many a time. But as far as preaching on it, preacher, I'm not sure that I ever have. I'm sure looking forward tonight. If you'll pray tonight, the Lord will help us get right where God wants us to be at. And maybe we'll do our best. We'll certainly do everything we can to honor him. Bible says in Acts chapter 12 in verse number 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, and he delivered him to the four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth before the people. Bible says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. I want to read verse number 5 one more time. It said, Peter therefore was kept in prison. I like that next word. It just says, but. Amen. I'm telling you, thank God, there are sometimes there's more going on than what we can see. Amen. I'll tell you what, go ahead and sit down. I feel like I need to go ahead and preach. Amen. I've done prayed up. I just like talking to the Lord sometime. But what you find in this passage of Scriptures, the Bible said that he was kept in prison, but there was something else happening. Amen. And the Bible says in that passage, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. I'd like to preach tonight on the thought, but about that time. Amen. But about that time, I want you to notice how this passage begins. It says, now about that time, in verse number 1, the first thing you find about this is the church of the living God is on fire, friend. I mean, there's already been that day of Pentecost, and the Holy Ghost of God has already came down and set the church in motion, friend. And there's already been 3,000 saved, and daily is added as such should be unto the church. We find by this time in the church's history that we find Saul has already been converted. He has already went on the road to Damascus, and that great line done shine down about him, and that great light done already filled his heart up. And dear friend, the Bible teaches us he had already left that way and came down in one shape, but thank God he left a different man. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. But now we come to this place, and let us all be mindful of one thing. Anytime the power and the presence of God comes down, anytime, dear friend, that the Holy Ghost of God shows up, and there's going to be opposition coming right around the corner. Amen. And thank God, let's just go ahead, amen, and get ready for it, honey. It's a coming, praise God. And so the Bible says in verse number 12, now about that time, I'm telling you, dear God, as everything's a humming along and they're singing songs, bless God, and folks getting born again by God's marvelous grace, and they had an adversary and that they did not know about. And the Bible said his name was Herod. Amen. That name ought to ring a bell. Oh, Herod has been a long time enemy against the church of the living God. And you find, bless God, that in the book of Luke and in the Matthew's account, and you find that there was a king named Herod the Great. He'd done everything he could to kill the Lord Jesus Christ, and slew every baby, amen, all the males under 2 years old. And then we find his son, Herod Antipas, was the one that had John the Baptist beheaded. And now all of a sudden we find his grandson here, a man named Herod Agrippa. And oh, Herod Agrippa has made it his personal mission to be an adversary unto the church of the living God. Oh, friend, I'm glad, bless God, and they might be a many adversaries all around, but I'm glad for who's on our side. Amen. I'm glad, bless God,
that the Herods of this world can decide to come against the church all they want to. But honey, let me say this to you tonight. And there's still a God on the throne that puts his hand around his people and around his church. And last time I checked, amen, the gates of hell still have not prevailed against the church of the living God. It doesn't matter what Darwinism said and Voltaire said, all of those people who said that this Bible would be dead and religion would be gone and Christianity would be destroyed. And thank God the church is still doing just fine. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I thought about when I looked at this patient. I mean, we ought to know who our adversary is. And the Bible says to be sober and to be vigilant. And for your adversary, amen, that applies to all of it. And that's why he said your. And that's my adversary. And the devil is as a roaring lion walketh about and seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist ye steadfast in the faith. And knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are throughout the world. But the God of all grace, amen, who hath called us unto his eternal glory, and by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, he makes you perfect and strengthen, establish, and settle you. And then I like the way the last verse ends that thing. It said, to him, amen, and be glory and dominion and forever and ever, amen. And listen, friend, and let whatever come may. And bless God, I'm glad that when this thing's over, friend, and God's still on the throne, amen, he's still in control, thank God. And so notice the Bible said, and we find he had an adversary. But then we see that about that time he was apprehended. In verse number 4 it said, and when he had apprehended him. Hey, listen to me, friend. And let's just everybody, I want everybody to be real sober tonight, okay? I want you to know devil love nothing more than to apprehend you, amen. And the Bible teaches us in Psalm 119 that the wicked lay out a snare for the righteous. I'm telling you, the devil would love nothing more, amen, than to catch me or you or anybody in this church in a snare. He'd love nothing more than to lay hold. Hey, listen, don't you think it can't happen to you, friend? And there ain't a person under the sound of my voice that is above falling. Can you hear me? And there ain't a person under the sound of my voice, amen, that if just the right circumstances was presented, amen, that you wouldn't be just like that old drunk or drug addict heading down the road. And you say, preacher, what's the difference? And thank God for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. I say hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I'm glad there's a place I can come to and bow my head before God and pray a little while. Amen. When you see the enemy coming, you ought to just pray one for another, bless God, and say, not today, amen, and not in this place, bless God, and not these people, amen. I'm telling you, whenever folks aren't able and you see the enemy raging on their life, you ought to bow your head down and make up your mind and that you're going to intercede for them. Going to stand in the gap before them and going to do what you can, and that when they can't do what they can for themselves, you're going to bear them on your own wings, amen. And Bible says he is apprehended, and when he got apprehended, they put him down in prison. And the first thing I notice about the prison is it's a dark place, friend. I mean, listen, there ain't no light, and down on the inner prison, and there ain't no light that shines down there. And not only that, but it's a destitute place. I mean, you're completely separated from the people of God. Hey, listen, everybody hear me real quick. I want you to understand this. If you find yourself and getting to a point where you are separating yourself from the people of God, you are becoming prime game for the devil to destroy your life. I mean, listen to me, friend. Folks say whatever they want to say, and they can lie to themselves if they want to, and they'll say, well, I can serve God just as well at the house. Hey, amen. That's a lie from hell, friend. I want you to understand that we need the place of God. Amen. And we need to gather up under his plate. And so I notice that it's a dark place. It's a destitute place. But it's also a place of despair. And whenever Peter's down in this place, as far as he understands, there's no way out. You understand? Peter don't know how Acts chapter 12 works out. What Peter knows when he's down in prison is that James just got beheaded, John. He just knows right now, and that there was three of the inner circle, and Peter, James, and John. And God just allowed James to be beheaded for the cause of Christ. He doesn't understand, amen, what we know from reading the rest of the chapter. And so as he is in that place that night, I'm telling you, sometimes and the devil will take you to a prison where it's dark and destitute, a place of despair, where you don't know if you'll ever get out of that place again. I'm telling you, thank God. And notice what the Bible says. Pay attention real quickly. And the Word of God says in verse number 4, it says he put him in prison. And then it says he delivered him unto four quaternions of soldiers, and to keep him, intending after Easter and to bring him forth. And so the Bible, notice there's three things. And first it says that he put him, and then it says he delivered him, and then it says that he intended to keep him. I want you to hear me, friend, and thank hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I'm telling you, I can just see old Herod Antipas up there, or Herod Agrippa rather. I can see the devil just a strutting back and forth, amen, thinking to himself, I just got James, amen, and Peter's next on the list, and then I'm going after John, and we'll see what happens to the church out of this. But thank God, bless God, the church wasn't built on Peter, it wasn't built on James, and it wasn't built on John, and this thing ain't built on me or you. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And so as long as he's alive and well, well after me and you are come and gone, and dear friend, thank God this thing going to be just fine. Amen. But I want you to notice the devil's intention. And first was to put him in a bad place. And then it was to keep him in that place. He said, I'm going to keep you right down in prison, bless God. And the next day you see the light of day, I'm taking your head off of your body. I'm telling you, listen. And the devil had a lot of things going on. He had a lot of things in his mind. I mean, the devil would love nothing more than to deliver you into the very pits of hell. He'd desire nothing more, a friend, to keep you in your lost condition until the next thing you lift your eyes up is in an eternal burning torment. But thank God, listen to me, friend. Oh, Peter was in such a bad place. Number one, Peter couldn't get himself out. Amen. I mean, there are 16 soldiers. 16 soldiers. I mean, listen, bless God. They done chained two up around him. And bless God, and put 14 more around him. This is one man. I mean, you'd have thought, dear God, and they was trying to chain down Goliath. But they chained him up. And they put 16 around him. 16 men. And they said, you ain't going nowhere, big boy. You'll stay right here in this place, right where I put you at. But thank God. Peter couldn't get himself out. Herod wasn't going to let him out, and his friends couldn't bust him out. But the Bible says, but. Glory. Hallelujah, amen. It says, but. I want you to understand that about this time, when Herod is over here and the devil and his crew's over here, and they're looking down and saying, this is what's going to happen to you, and this is what we're going to do to you, and this is our desire for you. We will destroy you, Peter. Somewhere down the road, just a little ways, and there's something that the devil was not accounting on, and there's just a few folks gathered up together, and they said, I'll tell you what. I know the door seems like it's shut, Peter, and there may not be any way for you to get out. I know that it seemed like and that Caesar's on the throne and Herod Agrippa's put you steadfast. And can't you imagine as they gathered up that day? I'm Bill Crabtree. I can hear what I'm saying. Who do you know that you think you might can get him out? I can hear what I'm saying. Well, I know somebody that works in the house of Herod. I can hear somebody else say, I've got a cousin that works in the house of Caesar. I can hear them begin as Baptists do sometimes and to try to work things out themselves, you understand? But I can see in my mind, now this ain't Bible, I'm just supposing, amen? But I can see in my mind's eye some little old saintly woman in the back stand up and saying, I know somebody who knows somebody, amen? And thank God, bless God. And they'd say, well, who do you know, amen? I know the one, amen?
I'm telling you, there ain't a door that's ever been shut to him, and there ain't enough soldiers to keep him out, and there ain't enough Caesars to keep him where he's at for it. I'm glad that when they came to this place, and the Bible says prayer was made without ceasing, and the devil's, I hope you get this, dear God. I mean, the devil's over here. I'm working his little plan, but you understand the devil's not omnipotent, and the devil's not omniscient. He's not everywhere. He's not all-knowing. He does not know as God knows, and so he doesn't know. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, when them people got together, they'd been praying for a pretty good spell. And you understand, he was put up in the days of unleavened bread. But now it's almost after Easter. In other words, it's after the day of the resurrection. Amen. 1 year to the day since the Lord Jesus Christ done come up out of the grave. And 1 year to the day since he had sent down the power from on high to fill up the believer. He said, I'm going to send you. It's expedient that I go away. And for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. And we'll see in just a minute the Comforter came so strong. And that even though he's about to die, he's laying there. Amen. Fast asleep. Bless God. Resting on the eternal arms of God. Amen. But I want you to notice what the Bible said. It says, but when they was put, prayer was made, and without ceasing of the church. And now I noticed this last week, we looked at that, and passages the Bible says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so that's one man's prayer. One man's prayer. One man, Elijah. Elijah didn't have a whole nation. Elijah didn't have a whole church. Elijah didn't have all the prophet. Elijah stepped out and said, I don't want it to rain. And bless God, it did not rain. Amen. Now here's the question. As I've been studying and thinking on this, is more than one person's prayer, is group prayer more effective than one person's prayer? I want you to think about this. When we all get together and pray, does that have more power with God than one effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man? I'm going to be honest with you. And there's some things I'm not real sure about, okay? But I'm going to tell you this. If my boy came up to me and asked me if he could have something, and I said yes, and then all the rest of them came up together and asked me again, I'd say the answer is already yes, amen. And so what's the purpose of everybody praying together? Is it just to simply make us feel better because more people are praying together? Or is there a reason for more people to pray together? I think the Lord's let me in on a few things, and maybe you ain't never thought about that. Don't listen. Don't get caught up on that, okay? And this service is going, this train's going to keep on moving. I don't want to leave you at the last stop. And so what we find about this patient, I thought about the first thing, when a church prays together. I like that. Anybody just like the way that sound? You ought to smile at me. Amen. When a church prays together. How would you like to be sitting over in prison somewhere and the devil about to destroy your life, and then somebody ring up on your phone? Amen. Put that joker on speakerphone. Hold it out real loud and clear, and you can hear all of Amazing Grace down on their face before God praying for you. You don't reckon that stir up your soul just a little bit? You don't reckon that put fire down in your bones just a little bit? And you don't reckon, amen, that lets you know the power of God's falling down just a little bit? And now the Bible says prayer was made without ceasing. And day and night, day and night. Hey man, I'm telling you, dear God, they wasn't looking to get out of that place, and they was intending to pray as a church until God answered their prayer. I want you to know the first thing that I noticed about that is when they was praying together, it brought them into unity. Amen. I believe part of the reason we ought to pray together is the Bible says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 4, endeavor to keep the bond of unity. Amen. I believe God wants us to be in unity on some things. I'm telling you what, dear God. Amen. Whenever you bow your head and pray. And now sometimes we all praying for different things. Amen. We all scattered. And you understand, we praying for this over here, and we praying for that over there, and we praying for this and that and whatever else the case may be. And we pray best our memories can be. But I'm telling you, whenever folks get under, when folks get under need, under burden, and you get that call, and you say, we're only praying for one thing. And as everybody comes into the altar, and they wasn't praying for some sick person down the street, and they wasn't praying, dear God, The Lord would help them with their money problems. They had one thing on their mind, and they was praying for Peter's release out of prison. Now listen to me. I want you to think about this for a second. Don't you guess they prayed for James's release out of prison too? Amen. Everybody, somebody else say amen right there. Don't you guess they prayed for his release too? Hey man, he didn't get released, Miss Sheila. But I love this about this church. They said, Lord, we don't know why James didn't get out. Don't know why you didn't touch him.
Amen.
But bless God, that's not going to keep me from praying that you touch Peter. Hey man, there's some things that we just simply do not know. But what I do not know is not going to prevent me from what I can pray for. Amen. And so I thought about it brings them into unity. But then I thought about the access that it gives. Bless God, in that same place where the Bible says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Right before that, it says, if any are sick or afflicted among you, let him call for the, what's that next word? Elders, amen. And so it must, it doesn't say elder, amen, doesn't say elder. And so it must mean that there are some times when God is waiting to be entreated of multiple people before he answers the prayer. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, if any two or three of you would touch and agree upon any one thing, amen, that means that somebody's got to come together in unity in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that famous passage that's quoted oftentimes in 2 Chronicles. He said, if my people, amen. He did not say, if my person. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, amen, will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin. I'll heal their land. I'm telling you, bless God, I believe there's some times that God is waiting for us to adopt a burden for people to the point that we're all willing to come together and pray for nothing else but that one thing. I'm telling you, dear God, you can just see them in that place. I don't know, maybe they took shifts. I don't know how this whole thing worked out, but around the clock, and they're praying. And I want you to know what? I want you to know this is just how the Lord gave it to me, okay? I want you to know why Herod, now Herod's still over here. He's intending to bring old Peter forth. And then about the time he goes down to get him, hey man, he ain't no longer there. What happened? I want you to understand that Caesar would have sooner conquered every living, breathing thing in heaven and earth and in the ocean as he would to shut out the prayer of God's chosen people. I thought about old Herod would sooner and catch the wind in his hand and direct it where he wanted to go than he would be able to stop the prayer of a few folks coming down in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought the soldiers, bless God, would just as soon lock up 1,000 Samsons and contain him with all of his power than they would to just stop. Amen. And there wasn't a whole lot of people gathered together in this little old house of Mary. But there's enough people there, bless God, that understood the power of God. Amen. And that when they begin to pray, all hell could not stop their prayer. What would it do if we just for a moment got one thing on their heart? Yeah, man. I'll tell you this, you ever been in a service where you've been the recipient of everybody in that service of praying? I've been in one of them. Sitting back there in the back, my arms crossed up and folded up, mad at the world, mad at everybody else. And I'd hear, oh God, would you reach down and touch Kevin? And one by one I'd hear, I didn't hear all their prayer, but I heard my name being called up from everybody down there. And you know what, before long I start thinking, Lord, what is it? I'm not in that bad of shape, am I? I'm not too far down that road just yet, am I? But the Holy Ghost of God kept dealing with my heart. And I don't know if it just seemed that way to me or if it was that way in reality. But it seemed the more that God broke my heart, the louder I heard them pray. I'd hear them cry out, "Oh God." I'm telling you, thank God we've gotten to the point today where we don't want to offend anybody in the place of God, where we don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. We don't want anybody to be uneasy. But I'm telling you, I'll serve you on notice if you're here and you ain't born again, amen. I'm praying for you, amen. I'm calling out your name, bless God. I want you to be born again, amen. Amen. Now the Bible says, prayer was made. Now, you're going to have to pray a little harder because I ain't nowhere done with this. My little old body's just about wore out, okay? So I believe if you pray for just a minute, Lord, help me real good. But this is what I know. I know not only is there some instances where we get access only by groups, but then think about how all the joy gets spread out when we all pray over one thing. I mean, dear God, they sometimes you may be praying about something and somebody calls and says this or that or whatever, and I can rejoice. Listen, somebody down the road 500 miles away ain't never laid eyes on my life. They say they got born again by the grace of God. I can shout her out. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Ain't nobody got to come around me and probe me in my ribs whenever somebody gets born again for me to have a little shout down in my body. But I want you to know, dear God, whenever God's people all together have been a praying for one soul, I mean, they've been invested in prayer. And they've spent some time in their secret place. And they've spent some time on the altar of God. And then all of a sudden, Brother Waters, somebody comes down, walking down that aisle. You have been in one of them services, hey man, where the joy just gets spread out over everybody. And because the truth of the matter is, everybody in the church has done been on their face before God. I mean, everybody's done been a calling out. Everybody's done been a prayer. Oh God, would you help us? If you don't help us, oh God, if you don't save them and convict their heart, and then nothing else is going to do. And then when they come, praise God, and get up, amen, I'm born again by God's marvelous grace. Hey, everybody gets to shout. And because we've all carried the same burden, and we've all been on our face before God, and crying to the same good Lord, and that His mercy would come down. Hallelujah to God. Then I thought about, boys, sometimes it's not only about that. Where'd my Bible go? And man, sometimes not only does joy get spread all over, but got your Bibles open up with me. Keep your place marked. There's one more thing we're going to look at in just a minute. Word of God says in 2 Corinthians. Notice in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I believe sometimes the reason the Lord wants us all to pray together. Oh, Lord, help us. And the Bible says this. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, the Apostle Paul's talking about how he was pressed out of measure above strength in so much in verse number 8 at the end that we despaired even of life. He said, we had the sins of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves but in God which raised the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. Now notice verse number 11. Ye also, helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, and thanks may be given by many on our behalf. You know why God wants us sometimes to pray together? Why God's waiting on us to get like this church and pray? Not only is joy get spread all over the place. Now, I want you to lay some things that I'm praying for, and when God answers those prayers, Josh, I'm just going to shout her out by myself. Ain't nobody else knows about it. Amen. And now I want you to hear me. I'm trying to prove a point right here. And so whenever God answers that prayer, I'm the only person that knows about it. Amen. I'm the only person that gets to thank God about it. But when we all pray together over one need, and then God comes down and He moves in that place. It ain't just one person gets to thank God about it. You understand? And the reason God ultimately does everything is to bring the most amount of glory to Himself. And so whenever the God of all glory has us come in together as a church, as this church did, and pray together without ceasing, it's so that whenever Peter got delivered, everybody got to spread out amongst themselves, whether there's on the front pew or the back pew, and whether, dear God, they was young or old, I guarantee you every one of them went out, amen, microphone in their hand, and saying, "Dear God, do you know we was having a prayer meeting, amen?" Yeah. And all of a sudden, in the middle of that prayer meeting, we had one that was in a dark prison and about to lose his head, but we started praying, and the Holy Ghost of God started moving, amen, and the next thing we know, and now here we are thanking you, and because Peter done came marching right out of that place, amen. It's good to thank you. Now watch this. Now about that time Herod's over here. Hey man, he's saying, "I'm going to kill this man." He's done rejoicing in his heart. About that time down the road over here, there's a little church. It's a praying. And about that time, way up here, there's a God in heaven. Hallelujah! I'm telling you about that time. You understand, Herod at about that time didn't know there was a church down the road and what they was doing. And that church down the road at about that time, they didn't know what God up in heaven was about to do. Amen. I wish you'd get with me, amen. I'm telling you just about that time. About the time when everybody's so discouraged. About the time when they've done prayed 6 or 7 days. Hey man, and Peter still ain't out. Thank God, let me just stop and tell you, and God doesn't grant your prayer when it gratifies you. God grants prayer when it glorifies Him. Amen. And so bless God. And they're coming in upon it. I mean, we're talking about hours. It's done already nighttime. And the next morning, Peter's head's going to be lifted off of his face. But about that time, amen, and there's a God sitting up in heaven said, "Well, I just don't think I'm going to let you do that today, amen. Devil." Hallelujah, amen. I'm telling you, there's some times and the devil can plan ever what he wants to plan. But I'm glad there are some times that right before he sinks in and them old lion paws that he's got and begins to roar real loud, I'm glad there's a great God in heaven who said, "I don't believe I'm going to let you get him." And just about this time. And so notice the Bible says here, I want to point out to you 3 or 4 things real quickly. And notice the word of God said in verse number 6, "And when Herod would have brought him forth, and that same night Peter was asleep, and between two soldiers, and bound with 2 chains, and the keeper before the door kept the prison. And behold," amen, "and the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, 'Arise up quickly,' and his chains fell from all of his hand." I'm telling you, can you just imagine? I'm with me for just a moment. I mean, that church was a praying. Oh, Peter's asleep, and the church is awake, and God's awake, and there's a whole other message right there, and the church ought to be awake, amen. And while folks are still asleep, and bless God, I'm telling you, while there's a laying there, oh, Peter's set up in between that place. I believe those soldiers was probably awake, but oh, Peter, he's just arrested. He's saying, "Hey, bless God, I'm celebrating the resurrection Savior." Amen. Nathaniel, as you said, this is not the only life he knew. Amen. He said, "If I die tomorrow, amen, I've already served him. I've already followed him. He's mine and I'm his. Bless God." And they cannot threaten me with eternal life. And they cannot threaten me with heaven. Amen. And they cannot threaten me with a street of gold and a wall of jasper. And thank God I'm saved. Amen. And but I want you to notice, and boy, there was an inclination, and that God answers prayer. Amen. Right on time. But then I noticed that there's an invitation, and the Bible says, "Arise and get thee up." Amen. And now I want you to watch this. Amen. Hallelujah to God. And the Bible goes on down to say, it says, "Arise and get thee up." And the word of God says, "And the angel said unto him, 'Gird thyself.'" And now you got to understand when this happens, and something real, real spectacular is about to transpire. Amen.
How old Peter's sitting there, and he's thinking he's just about to die. I'm having a good time. I hope you are too. But old Peter, he's sitting there, and he's just about to die. Hey, man, he knows that his life's going to be gone in the morning time. But that angel says, gird yourself. And you know what happened whenever he said that, Nathaniel? Oh, something ran through Peter's mind. He remembered back there on the shores of Galilee, after he had jumped off a boat and came a swimming to the Lord. After the Lord had looked at him, he said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? And he said, thou knowest, O God. He said it to him three times. And he looked at him and he said, Peter, he said, now I want you to hear me. He said, when you're young, you girt yourself. He said, but there'll be a day you'll be old, and another will girdest thou and carry us through where you go. Amen. And signifying by what death he must die. And so when that angel looked at him, he said, gird up yourself. And Peter said, it's not my time just yet. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. He said, it ain't over just yet. And the fat lady ain't sung. And the devil ain't got victory. He said, I remember what Jesus said way back yonder. And Jesus said, bless God. And that as long as the devil, or as long as I'm able to get up and girt myself, it's not my time to die just yet. And sometimes it might look like, it might feel like, it might seem like. But thank God I can rest on what Christ alone said. Amen. Don't you know that stirred his heart? Shh. He said, gird yourself. Gird yourself. You ain't old yet. It ain't your time to die. Put your own clothes on. Amen. Boy, that ought to say something right there, that God expects us to do what we can. Now notice the Bible goes on to say, not only does he tell him to get himself up, but I like that the Bible says a light came in. Yeah. Now the Bible don't say nothing about a lamp. It don't say nothing about a lantern. It just says a light. Thank God you can be down in a prison. The devil can have you just about choked out. People can get to praying. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I feel like some of you, amen. But whenever you're down in that dark place and all you can see is doom and gloom and despair and hopelessness, and then a light shines in, John Haley. Hallelujah, praise God. I'm telling you, thank God there's sometimes some folks has got a hold of heaven for me. I don't know about anybody else, but my mind be fogged up, my heart be fogged up. Hey man, my spirit be low, my spirit be broken, and down on my face before God. And I've had to inquire before, like that man of John 4. I've had an old brother or sister call me and say, hey brother, how are you today? I had you on my mind and I was praying. And then I had to inquire. And I said, about what time was you praying? Amen. Yeah. And they said, about 2:30. And it just so happened, whenever the light came shining into my heart and the darkness got dispelled, I looked down at that clock and said, I'm 2:30. And I thought, bless God, somebody have done stopped what they was doing. I reached out and got a hold of God. Amen. I got a hold of the Savior on my behalf. I thank God for the light of Christ. Amen. There was an invitation, there was illumination, and then we're going to find some instruction. And it gets even better for Peter. I don't know. All I know is I'm glad God's got a specific word to specific people, aren't you? There are some things that mean stuff to me that may not do nothing for you. But I'm glad God knows what I need. And what you need. They didn't know what Peter needed. They just knew they needed to get him out. And so they're just asking God about whatever. Don't turn this message off yet. I ain't even got the good parts yet. Amen. But I want you to watch what happens. These words came out. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost of God just shined them on the page. I thought, my. In verse number 8, it said, an angel said unto thee, gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto them, cast thy garment about thee. And then he said, follow me. Now I'll tell you what. Those words are good to a lot of people. Those words were special to Peter. Peter's out there one day, and he is casting his net.
laboring as an old stinky, ignorant fisherman.
That's right.
Laboring for today, taking no thought for eternity.
That's right.
But there's a man came by that day.
That's right.
He said, "Hey, Peter."
Yeah.
He said, "Follow me." The Bible says, and immediately, Peter left his nets and took off a following him. And then a little while later, he confirms it for all of his disciples. See, whenever the road's about to get rough, years of popularity have waned, it's about to get down to the nitty gritty where the rubber meets the road. And the Lord Jesus asked him one more time. He said, "Follow me." And old Peter did. But then, Tyler, darkest night in old Peter's life, he had denied the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord had looked at him and he had went out and wept bitterly. At cock and crow, he had done cursed him. Hey, man, old Peter's feeling as low as he'd ever went. He had done already went back to what he had always known. He said, "I'm going back a fishing, boys." And everybody else went with him. But when he saw the Lord, he girded himself then too, amen. For he was naked and took off in that thing, came up on the shore. And after he had restored him, after the Lord Jesus, glory to God, looked at him, Brother Bill, he said, "Do you love me?" He said, yeah, you know I do. He said, "Follow me." "Don't you know," old Peter said, "I didn't know if I could follow you now, Lord. I've messed up so bad. I've made such a wreck of my life. I've made such a miserable mistake." And God said, "Follow him." And so Peter's laying there in that place half asleep. He said, "Today's not my day to die." And then that angel said, "Would you follow me?" Amen. I can see old Peter just perk right up. Amen. Things start to percolate down in his soul. And say, "Bless God, the work's not over yet. I ain't home yet. And there's still work to be done. Amen. My life might have been in peril. But as long as there's breath in my life, and breath in my body, a life in my bone, I'm still required to follow him." Amen. Now watch. Watch this. At about that time. Amen. At about the time Herod thinks he's about to get him, the churches are praying for him. Oh, Peter. Hey, listen to me. He ain't even running. Oh, Peter just walking. He is to follow the Lord. How long you reckon it took the devil to figure out what was happening? Didn't make no difference, TJ. Whenever he is that close to the Lord, devil ain't going to be nowhere to be found. Said he says, "Draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to you. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you," right? But I want to call your attention to what's going on right here. Everybody, if you got your Bibles, I want you to watch this, okay? It's real, real important to this whole story. Word of God says in verse number 7, it said, whenever at the end of it, his chains fell off him. You see that? His chains fell off him. Then in verse number 10, Bible said when they were past the first and the second ward, there was a door at his prison. There was a first ward, another door. And then there was a second door, another door. So there was three doors and Peter's in prison. He's got chains on his hand. He's got chains on his feet. Now watch what happens here. Bible said, and they came unto the iron gate. Just stop reading right there. Don't read ahead. Just read with me. They got to the iron gate. Peter got out of prison. But the Bible says the gate was a gate of iron. And them children back there, brother, when they're going into Canaan land, they said, "We would take over the land." He said, "But they got chariots of iron."
Amen. That's right.
And now old Peter comes walking up there. And he's finally came to himself. And these gates of iron. How are we going to get out of them? Glory to God. And it says, which opened to them of his own accord. Whoa! Glory to God. I'm telling you, friend. Oh, Peter came up to them gates. And that angel was up there. And just like the Bible says they'll do one day for the Lord Jesus Christ in Psalms chapter number 24. When it says that the Lord's going to come up to that eastern wall there in the city of Jerusalem, according to the book of Ezekiel, that ain't no man came in since it's been shut up, but the Lord's coming that way one day. And according to Psalm chapter 24, when he comes a-stepping on that ground, stepping over them old Muslim graves, amen, and walks right up to that wall that's been 9 foot ironed in, and the gates of that city is going to raise up for him, and he's going to walk on through. And so here's the question I got. I don't read where the angel pried the bars off his hands. I don't read where the church, amen, and came in and jostled the bars loose. I don't read where any of that happened. And you say, preacher, what happened? And somebody must have had a master key, amen. I mean, bless God, somebody had a key and that would work on his hand shackles. Somebody had a key that worked on his feet shackles, and they matched up with the door of the prison, the first ward, the second ward, and the gate. I wonder where that key was at. Well, I believe the Bible tells us way back there in Matthew chapter 16, and the Bible says, whom say men that I am? And he said, some say thou art Elias, some say Jeremiah, sir. And one of the other prophets, he said, who do you say that I am? And when he said, and Peter said, thou art the Christ, and the Son of the living God. Yep. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, yep, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Amen. And he said, and I give unto you, hallelujah, of the keys to the kingdom, amen. And he said, whatsoever you shall bind on earth and shall be bound on heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth and shall be loosed in heaven. And thank God, Doc Dunn already gave him the master key. What was it, preacher? Prayer, amen. It was praying. It was some folks, bless God, that just wanted to pray, amen. When they prayed to the master said, I got a key for that. And can I tell you, it didn't take him no effort to do it either. Amen. They could not have done it in their own effort. But about that time, just about that time, the devil's over here. But he ain't counting on a church over there. And he sure ain't counting on a God up there. And whenever they get a hold of God, God begins to do what nobody else can do. So the question tonight is, don't you guess it's about that time?
Amen.
I mean, I'd hate to think that there's a God in heaven wanting to save somebody. Yes. Wanting to bring somebody out of prison. Yeah. But he's waiting for a church to find out. Yeah. It's about that time that we wake up and start calling out to the God of all glory. I'm going to say this. I believe this is where the Lord wants me to stop. At about that time, they're still a-praying. And they heard a... Hello? Who's there? It's Peter. Hey! You going to let me in? Old Rhoda went back to him and she said, Peter's at the door. They said, no, he ain't. They said, it's his angel. Now, before you come down too hard on these people for being doubting, bear in mind James did not get let loose. And it did not look like Peter was going to get out either. Kyle Compton, this is the way the Lord gave it to me. You know, in order for there to be a pardon for somebody on death row, there has to be three things. Somebody has to petition for the pardon. Somebody's got to be the advocate to take the pardon to the judge. And then the judge has to issue the pardon. Peter was asleep. Who was making a petition for the judge for him to get acquitted? They'd done served him his last meal, is all she wrote. But while 16 soldiers thought they had their eye on everything, the great judge of all mankind, he said, it's time. And he said, come on out, Peter. I don't know about you, but I remember when my time came. Hallelujah. I remember folks was praying. The devil's trying to get me to stay where he's at. But thank God. God said, it's about time right now. Amen.